I'm Holly Constant.
And I'm Maddie Hockaday. We really love Parks and Rec, and we really love behind-the-scenes details.
So we're researching everything from DVD extras like deleted scenes and commentaries,
plus interviewing cast and crew who actually worked on the show.
We also bring on guests and friends to geek out about everything parks.
So join us, you tropical fish.
This is literally the best Parks and Rec rewatch podcast.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Hello everyone and welcome.
Welcome to a special Park Pals.
Yes, we're super excited. We have an amazing guest, Johnny Sneed. He played William Barnes. He was the campaign manager with Antonio Raftu, who was his other campaign manager. But yeah, we talked to him today and it was like so fun. And so he's just like so calming.
Oh, yeah. It was calming, positive, had a smile on his face almost the entirety of the hour and some that we talked to him. So mm-hmm. Yeah, just a really cool presence. I mean, as you guys all know, most of the people we've talked to have just been completely wonderful and really fit that Parks and Rec culture. Mm-hmm. Really, it's the Dan Gore. That's also a person, but the Mike yeah. Shore and Greg Daniels like vibe and culture that they've really created around their TV shows. So it's mm-hmm. and yeah. Amy, right? Like it's mm-hmm. her culture too. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it was really awesome. I play a little clip for him in the commentary that Mike Shore talks about, and that was really nice to see his reaction. I definitely was like, I don't know. It definitely felt like I was waiting for him to like speak more, because he was a little bit more of a slower speaker because he was so calming. And you know mm-hmm. me, I'm like crazy and have, you know, just like talk all the time. So I was trying really hard to just like let him speak. And you'll see if in the beginning, I'm sorry. I said that to him after I emailed him after. I was like, thanks for coming on. I'm sorry if I cut you off. And he was like, no, you didn't. But you'll hear it. And I think I didn't listen to it yet, but I think you'll hear it a little bit where as the interview goes on, I start to like realize like, oh, okay, he's not done talking yet. He's just like in his head thinking mm-hmm. a little bit more.
It's so hard on video conferencing though too, guys, as I'm sure a lot of you know. It's, you know, to kind of read the, especially if there's a delay, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And we talk about Fever Pitch, which if I feel like a lot of the same demographic that would watch Parks and Rec were into Fever Pitch as well. Mm-hmm. He's been in so many things, though. But we definitely talk about Fever Pitch. And then I totally forgot to ask him who he resonates the most with as a character. So I did email him that, and I'm sure he'll get back to me. So I'll have that as a recap. But I did ask him, because I forgot to also ask him if he had anything to promote. And he did email back to that. He says that he didn't really have anything like like media wise to promote technically, like any shows that are coming up, mm-hmm. but he did send me his demo reel, so I'll post that in stories. And then he also sent me one of the bands that he's playing with right now, which is the Stardust Ramblers, because he plays drums, which we talked mm-hmm. about in the interview. And he said that he's gonna try to message Allison Becker, and he also said he's friends with Burley, which I didn't realize.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he saw that we had interviewed him because I just re-released Burley's like a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he said that they're friends. So I thought it was so cool that he's just in this world, and it was so special. And we just really thank him for coming on, because it was like really fun to just be. Because I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, I think I was expecting, just like Dr. Harris and anyone really, that like he is very different from the character that he plays. I mean, there's bits of him, mm-hmm. but he was not like very straightforward, organized, like let's just get you down to the pressure moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very charismatic.
Very charismatic, very just like Southern charm moment mm-hmm. that we so
absolutely. Yeah.
Very exciting. And
I'm
his
glad
cats
he,
come in.
Yes,
which is
they do.
Super cute.
Yeah. Relatable for Holly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that he brought up the drums too, because I did see that mm-hmm. he was a musician, and I was gonna ask that if he didn't. So that was cool to hear him talk about as well.
Yeah. And he also said he was a fan of the show, which is really cool because like we talked about in the interview, like he's not many people were super into the show before. But now that we're getting into seasons like end of season three into season four, it's really cool that he was a fan of them and was like super excited to be on set. So, yay. Exciting.
Yes. It's absolutely wonderful.
Okay. Well, don't forget that we have a Patreon. We have all the Instagrams. Let us know if you have any questions. You can always reach out via social media or email. But otherwise, we'll just toss you over to Johnny Sneed. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy, too.
This is so nice to see you.
So nice to meet you all. Thanks for doing it. That's so great. You guys have done a lot of shows.
Yeah, we've been up there. Oh my gosh. It's a lot of work, but it's so fun to meet people like you and to just really deep dive this show. I love it.
I feel bad. I thought I should watch those episodes again, and I'm sorry I haven't watched them. So you might have to refresh me on some things.
Okay. Yeah.
We got you.
That is literally our job and literally what I do with the with the guests. We pretty much watch every episode and then we write down like things that happened in each episode.
So
we'll remind you. Don't worry.
Thank you.
So how's your day going?
Oh, good. So far, yeah, it's been kind of crazy out here. The rain and snow, although no snow where we, I mean, at our house, but I mean, in the distance, some snow and it's kind of so crazy for LA. Yes. But we're good.
I didn't know it was snowing. Where is it snowing? Like in Northern California?
On Venice Beach, it was snowing. Yeah. And like when you look out at the mountains in the horizon, they've never had snow on them. And then when you see them has snow, it's like a whole different picture, you know?
Oh my, global warming problem.
Yeah. I think it is. Other than that, it's good. My son and my wife are out of the house. My son is 5 and he goes to a little preschool till about 12. So when he comes back, it might be a little disruptive, but maybe we'll be finished by then.
Yeah, we might be done. Who knows?
Yeah.
And your wife's birthday is tomorrow, you said, right?
Yes, yes.
In our emails. Okay, cool. Are you guys doing anything fun?
We're just going to all walk to dinner down the street. There's a little place we can go eat.
Okay, cute.
Yeah.
Where in LA are you guys?
I'm in Los Feliz.
Okay, cool. I lived in LA for almost 5 years, but this was like a million years ago now.
Yeah.
I guess Glendale would be the closest that I was to Los Feliz when I
absolutely
lived there. But yeah.
That's just down the street.
Yes, down the street.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, so one of the things that we always ask our guests at the very beginning is kind of how you got your job on Parks and how this all happened for you, like audition, sides, all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you remember it.
I don't remember the details. I think I had auditioned for some other parts on Parks and Rec and just went in for this one. And it just felt, oh, this is nice. It felt like a nice – sometimes you can just kind of tell over the years, although lately we don't do anything in person anymore. Everything's been on self-tape, so we don't have that sort of interaction. But you can kind of just feel like, oh, this part fits. I can do this. It feels right, you know. And I had auditioned for those guys for The Office, some of the people that worked on Parks, they worked on The Office. And not that I wasn't in the running or anything, but I auditioned for Jim part.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Way back when, yeah. But John Krasinski, I'm sure he did a much better job than I would have done.
I could totally see you playing Jim, though, now that you say that. And like with me having seen you in other stuff. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you would have been like, you know how in theater sometimes they do like double casting?
Right. I could have been John's understudy, maybe. Exactly. He hurt himself. I could have gone in.
That's so cool. Yeah. And so they called you in to do Parks?
Yeah. So they had me come read. And I wish I could remember. I think I did audition for a couple other parts and that happens. That's not uncommon. You kind of go in for a show more than once, at least for like what we're doing, like these guests, recurring guest stars or guest stars, that kind of stuff. You might go in for a show and do a part, read for a part, and you don't get that, and they call you in for something else, and you know, like you're a bad guy on one, and then you're a loving father on this one, and you just kind of see what fits and what's right for the story, and then they. But this one worked out. I was so excited because I was a fan of the show. I mean, I love The Office and love Parks as a fan. So I was excited to be a part of it, you know.
And that's so cool.
I had actually worked with Rashida Jones on a show called Unhitched that kind of came and went on Fox. And so I knew her just from working with her on that. And then I had never met anyone else, but she and I had worked together before. So that was nice to reunite with her. Yeah.
That's so cool. And like you barely had any scenes with her. I don't even know if you, I don't think you did have any scenes with her in Park. So that's like really interesting.
I think you're right. Yeah. I might not have. I think I just would see her on the set basically. Yeah. That was,
did you know that you were going to come back for the show, or were you auditioning for just kind of a one-off?
I don't think I knew. And sometimes in the breakdowns, they might say that, you know, they might say possibly recurring, but that doesn't always play out. But this one, I was like, oh, well, maybe so. If she's going to be running for several episodes, this could be great, but you never know. I mean, it's kind of fluid. And so I was real excited to be, you know, brought back a couple times. Yeah. That was real nice. Yeah. I think five or six.
Do you remember the scene they gave you at all or no?
Oh, the audition?
Yeah.
It may have been that first scene when I come in to talk to Leslie Knope and say, are you interested in running? I think that may have been the audition, actually. Okay. Yeah.
I would assume so, but you just never know.
Yeah, you never know. And then sometimes some of these shows do scenes that aren't even in the episode. You audition, they give you sides for, I don't know. I don't. Some shows are more secretive about their stuff. You know, sometimes it's weird. Like you, this is not, I don't know. Or maybe they just say it's not in the show just to throw you off. I don't know. But this was actually the scene that where I actually meet Leslie, I think was that was what I auditioned for. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, do not share or distribute these
right.
sides.
Yes, right. Very serious.
Yeah. Like it's a Marvel movie.
I know. Right. Right. I was like, who am I going to give this to? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just out of touch. I wouldn't know who to, if I wanted to reveal some script, I wouldn't know where to send it or put it up or I don't know.
Totally. Oh my God. Well, do you have any memories of that first day on set? Because that first day was when everybody was there. Like,
we
just reviewed Little Sebastian. Yeah. And that was like the memorial that they were doing.
That's right. That was so funny. I do remember that. And that was the last episode of that season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Season finale.
Yeah. So,
were the cliffhanger. Your Antonio, co-guest host.
Yes.
Sar, rather.
Right.
We're the cliffhanger of like, oh my gosh, these suits are coming in. Who are
What's
these
going
people?
On? Yeah. What is this? Funny. I do kind of remember, I think it was that episode, that very first episode. I mean, I was so excited to be there. And, I was even kind of nervous just because I was like a fan of the show. Mm-hmm. I was kind of giddy, like, oh, man. I mean, I've been out here since, I've been doing this for 20 years, I guess, but I guess this was 10 years ago. I've been out here since 2001. But I was still like a fan and kind of nervous. Like, and I thought, you know, and Amy Poehler, of course, is so great. And mm-hmm. I was just a mm-hmm. fan of hers. And Queen. So, but she's, of course, as lovely as you can imagine. I mean, she's so warm and welcoming and really sets such a nice tone for the day. And, you know, working mm-hmm. there, you just feel so nice and welcomed, you know. This was all just in my head. I was just like nervous and because everyone was great. And I think we did it a few times. And then, like, you know, sometimes scenes go on and you try little things like maybe I'll go over here or I'll say something. And I think I said something just trying to improvise, and it wasn't like a totally off the wall. It was just something. And then I remember Amy kind of like reassessing. We were like, cut. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll do this. And, you know, Johnny, don't do that. You know, we'll stop there. Well, you know, just, it was totally innocent. Like she was just,
right.
You know, the producer mind probably just thinking, okay, this is where we're going to go. But in my mind, my like actor fan mind was just like, oh no, what did I do? Oh gosh, I don't know. What am I doing here? I don't belong.
Everything up. Yes. I'm never coming back.
Right. Right. Oh, why? I don't belong here.
No. Well, it's funny. We actually just heard a story from a guy named Jeff Sloniker who played the, he's in like UCB and a ton of stuff, but he plays a guy who takes over Chris Pratt's character at the Shoeshine Stand.
Oh, funny.
And one of his stories was about that, like where Chris Pratt was like, let's improvise, let's go crazy.
Yeah.
And the director came up to him after and like Chris Pratt had gone and was like, let's just keep it.
Yeah.
To get, like, let's keep it where it is. And he was like, and so he was like, what do I do? Do I change or do I not do it? Like, what do I do?
I know. Oh, no. Chris is saying go, but the director's like, no. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was like, it's always that thing I feel, especially with these shows that are so improv, like, friendly,
yes,
where you're just like, wait, do I make this show? Like, do I just play around and dick around a little bit because it's going to be so fun? Like,
yeah, right.
These are all professionals, or do I just stick to the script?
I know. And because the script is great, mm-hmm, as is, it's like you feel like, yeah, well, what am I going to do to improve on this? All this, you know, 10 writers have created this great script. What am I going to do?
Right. Well, it's always, no, it's always nice though to kind of just play and see. And like,
yes,
I feel like at the end of the day, what Amy did is like the professional thing. It's like you can play, and then if someone tells you not to, okay,
yeah,
fine. It's their job to.
Absolutely.
Tell you
not to. No, absolutely. And again, like I said, it was nothing. It was completely innocuous and friendly and just like, you know, just matter of fact, like, mm-hmm, let's do this and, you know, let's end it here, you know, totally fine. But in my, you know, of course, my wanting to be accepted, you know, and please Amy or all the, you know, the great crew and, you know, oh no, yeah, is that okay?
Well, did you guys like rehearse it a bunch before you started shooting it, or was it not so much?
I mean, you know, with those kind of shows, like my experience is that you come in, I mean, knowing what your lines are, what your mm-hmm, your dialogue is, and then you kind of map it out based on what the geography is and where the cameras, mm-hmm, are. You know, you kind of block it really, but you just kind of run it loosely a few times just to kind of get a feel for it. And they might say, okay, that's great. You know, if you just need to end up here at this point so that the camera can come around, you know, whatever. I think you guys interviewed some camera operators, mm-hmm, and yeah, I mean, they're so flexible and they're everywhere, and it's like the documentary feel, and so they're pretty adaptable to whatever you do anyway, but they kind of get a loose, you know, script,
yeah,
of
like layout
of what you're going to do, and so that was really it. I mean, it's not like over and over and over, you just kind of do it a few times to figure out where you're going to be and where you are, and then you start shooting, you know.
Yeah, totally. And I could totally see, like, one of our favorite lines from last episode was when she says, when you say, like, you know, are you ready to run for office? And she's like, absolutely, I am very sorry. I don't know how you guys keep a straight face. I mean, obviously, you're in the moment and on set it's different, but it's just like that writing is so funny.
It's so ridiculous.
And
know.
You reacted, you and your co-star reacted so well. We're just like,
yeah.
Blank face kind of thing.
I know. I know. Oh, that's funny. Well, I'm sure those, I mean, they're so comfortable with each other. They probably giggle, you know, as like the guest, I'm just there to try to like make sure everything right. Although, I mean, it's so very easygoing. And I mean, I've been on shows that are not as fun, you know, but it's still always fun to me just because it's kind of like pretend when you're able to be on set. It's just still fun no matter what. But I mean, that show in particular was very light-hearted and you know, it's easy to laugh and everyone's having a mm-hmm. good time. And it showed, I think, you know, in all the episode, you can just tell they're having such a good time with each other, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting because Maddie and I were talking about this where like now that it's getting into like season three and like end of season three and season four, people that are coming on to audition are actually fans of the show. Whereas before in seasons one and two, like they didn't really know the show as much and they weren't like super mega fans. But people coming on now are like, oh, my God, I get to be on Parks.
Yeah,
you
this
know
is
I mean?
Great. I know. Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to play before I forget, because I feel like I'm gonna forget. I wanted to play this commentary clip that I had told you that I found.
Oh, yeah.
That Mike Schur was talking about. I played it on our last episode, so our listeners might have already heard it, but just to refresh it, your memory and you, Johnny.
Oh, great. Yes.
It's neat about to show up here, and he was an actor that we
Mike
really
Schur.
Loved who auditioned for Greg and me, Greg Daniels and me, when we were doing the pilot.
Oh,
we really loved him, and we've always wanted to use him, and when we came up with this idea, he was our first idea of like, because he's just a tall, kind of good-looking guy. He seems like he lives in a different world than Leslie does. And he's just very confident and kind of quiet as a performer. I thought he did a really good job.
But he has a small-town quality.
Yeah, he's still not like a big city slicker guy.
He really did a great job.
In real life, he's from North Carolina or something. He's got a slight, very, very slight drawl that makes him seem like he's authentic to Indiana. And that's Antonia Rafter, who plays the woman next to him.
Yeah, she was great, too.
Who's also great,
both of them really, really mm-hmm. did a great job. And Amy's on fire in this scene.
That is so nice.
I thought that was never, so cute for you to hear.
I've never heard that. I did not know that. I mean, it's funny. I wouldn't think that those guys even have me on their radar at all. You know, I mean, just because they're doing so much stuff and they're working with so many things and doing that is so nice to hear. That is incredible. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I'm so happy that they had you in their memory, but also like that they, because I didn't know that. Are you from North Carolina?
Mississippi, actually. I am
from
the South.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, because I did hear a drawl at the beginning. So.
Yeah, I know it.
He said slight, and it is slight, I'm sure. But I love that. It's so fun to hear him talk about that so many years later.
Wow, that is so nice. Wow, yeah, thank you for that. I'll hang on to that for a long time. That's great to know. Yeah.
Yay. We'll send it to you so you can listen to it whenever you need that lift up, you know.
Exactly. Thank you.
Right. It'll be like your screensaver if audio could be a screensaver. Right. But that's right. So cool. And so did you – oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm teasing. I was just joking around.
Okay.
I said I knew what you meant. You said if audio could be a screensaver. I said I knew what you meant. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why they haven't yet.
I know. Good.
Anyway. Did you know Antonia Raftu, I think is her name, at all?
No, I didn't. I met her on in the makeup trailer, basically. Okay. Yeah, she was great. Yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah,
I haven't kept up with her, though. I guess I always thought that, everyone hangs out all the time, that works together. And I know that's partially true. But I don't see any, I've run into Nick Offerman at like a Wilco show or something. I know he's a big Wilco fan, and I think he and I were hanging out, and I was like, "Hey, man, we reconnected that way just from working on the show together." But
cool.
I'm trying to think, and I like Rashida. I think I saw at some event one time, but I don't keep up with her. I don't see anybody or Antonio, so that's what I was thinking. I don't see any of that group on a regular basis. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys definitely had great chemistry together, I feel, as far as like the one episode. I mean, kind of skipping ahead because I think it's the last episode where she's polling at 1% and you have to tell her that you can't run her campaign.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, like you're so pure and chaste. I know you are sleeping together. All of smiles and glances.
Right, right. I know. That's so funny.
She's like, I'm gay. Yeah. But it's actually really true. I feel like if you were to go back and look at your guys's, like you do have, I don't know if you rehearse this or whatever, but you do have like a campaign manager kind of like same mind, like we're thinking the same thing kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And that may have been sort of direct, like we're in agreement on these things. And so we I don't know, that just kind of, she was really so easy to work with too. I mean, just great.
Happened naturally.
Naturally. Yeah.
That's awesome. Did they give you any? Oh, go ahead.
No, you.
Well, I was just going to ask if they gave you any sort of direction or anything like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah. At certain times they would. I mean, they might nudge you in a direction or I remember like when we were talking early on with Leslie about like polling numbers, are we going to see how this plays out? He, like the guy said, I just think it'd be funny. Like do this or like, play it like it's no big deal or, kind of guide you and you kind of, so it loosens you up a little bit and you change you don't really plan on like, my hand's going to be up here at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just sort of happens just by he sort of gives you a little nudge and then that leads you somewhere. So, I mean, yeah, they would kind of give you like, you guys are together on this or, this is serious to you or, they would kind of help you dial it in,
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, that next episode after Lil Sebastian is this first episode in season 4 where, you guys are talking about announcing the campaign in the small little room. And then she says, like, she's trying to hide it from Ben. And so she's like, this is just the ladies' yacht club.
That's right. That's great. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So I was wondering about that scene. First of all, it's hilarious. Secondly, it looks like a tiny little room. Do you remember? Like, were you at CBS Radford? Do you remember? Because that's where I know they shot a lot of the City Hall stuff. But
yeah.
I
think all my stuff, with the exception of like an outdoor rally or something, I think, but that was even still maybe on the lot, maybe. Or just around the corner. It wasn't very far. But yeah, I think everything that we did was at CBS Radford.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, in that soundstage kind of, I can't remember where exactly, like across the bridge or something.
Yeah,
I think everything was in there. So it was just part of one of their, it may have been one of her offices, like Leslie's office, or maybe a conference room.
I think it was like a tiny little conference room. It wasn't her office, but it was, it just looked, it struck me because as you get in further episodes with you guys, it's bigger, but this one was like so tiny.
Oh,
I was
funny.
Like, how did they squeeze in there? I mean,
I know, right?
Obviously it could have been like an open window. I'm sure it was a stage or open wall rather, but you know what I mean? It just looked really interesting to me.
I know. And that, you know, I remember my first TV gig in LA that, I mean, you know, I'd always seen like behind the scenes stuff growing up or whatever. And so I knew, I mean, obviously, you know, everything is make believe and sets and things, walls can move and lights, but it was still kind of a wonder, feeling of wonder when I first, my first gig was a show called The Guardian on CBS many years ago. Simon Baker is an Australian actor. It was his show. And I still remember like seeing that, like the fake walls and like, oh, this is so cool. Like all the lights and the camera. Look at this. Oh man, look at that.
You know, it's and so everything kind of,
you know, all looks so improbable that it would look okay on, and when you're seeing it like that, you're like, how does this look real on TV? But they make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have, I mean, this might be like too deep of a question, but like, did you have any sort of like, I don't know, back history that you gave yourself or any sort of like thing that you told yourself before you went in to do scenes with them?
I mean, they were, what they were saying is like, you know, successful at what we do, but we weren't like, we weren't like working on presidential campaigns. You know, it wasn't like, we weren't like,
right.
That, it's like we were competent, but we weren't like in the huge big leagues, you know. But so I felt comfortable in that role. Like, you know, okay, yeah, I can be, you know, you imagine just working on campaigns and just kind of having that sense of authority and knowing what you're talking about. You're like, this isn't like, you're not trying to feel this out. We're trying to help. We're there to help Leslie. And, you know, we get into that. So that's sort of the mindset you get into, or I got into and imagined, you know, that, but it was kind of still friendly in that world. It's friendly. I don't know if that's the right word,
but
you know
what I mean?
Cordial with each other.
Yeah. You're not being like rude about it or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we're on her team when we genuinely liked her, you know, and I wanted Leslie to do well. I wanted her to win. And that, I do remember that direction when we talked about, when we were parting ways. I remember the director, I can't remember what came up or what it was, how we were breaking the news and how I was telling her. And it was that it was, you know, I was genuinely disappointed that it wasn't going to work out. I'm sorry, you know, we're going to have to go somewhere and do some. And I can't remember what led up to that. Like why?
Well, I totally remember that. It was I actually literally wrote that in my notes. I was like, you did seem remorseful about telling her that you can't run the campaign.
Yeah.
Like, you were like, I'm sorry, you were a great candidate. But like, you have a really good balance from what I could tell of like, being like, this is just it. There's nothing personal. Like, but also, so like, it's a little bit callous in a way, but they're like 5% callous, but the other like percentage was like, this was a great campaign.
Yeah.
And the thing that led up to it was the scandal with Ben, I think, that got out. And so
right,
they were doing
right.
all the polling of, you know, if we figure if we're at 15% or above, we're good. But she was at 1%, the last milkshakey thing, or last bit of milkshake at the bottom of the tin milkshakey thing.
That's right. Yeah.
And you guys like had to keep such a straight face with that because you were like, it's over in your head and she didn't know.
Right. Yeah. I know. And there was the scene with like that was really funny with all the people on the ice rink. I do
yes.
like we left like we.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I know I have that written in here, too. Like that one. I mean, oh, my God, that's insane. Like that one, I think you were just trying to see what her campaign was looking like now. Mm-hmm. And you were like, right. What's your competition for the next person? Because mm-hmm. you do have that, or she has that line of like, what? So now you're just going to run to someone else? And your Antonio was like, yes.
Yes. That's, yeah. That's exactly what we're going to do. Yeah.
But you have to tell me any memories about that day, that ice rink day. Oh, do you have any memories?
Nothing specific. I just remember laughing a lot because it was just so ridiculous. And they were, you know, doing their bits falling on the, I mean, I don't know how they didn't actually hurt themselves doing all that stuff.
Seriously.
Oh my gosh. I don't know where we filmed that.
What's his guy's name? Like, do the basketball shot? My God.
Pistol Pete.
Oh, I don't know. Pistol Pete. Yes, yes, I do remember Pistol that. Pete. Yeah.
He like that stunt guy? It must have been a stunt guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that looked painful.
I know. Oh, I know. All those guys, the stunts, I don't know how they do all that stuff, man. Gracefully.
Yeah, I don't know where that would have been shot either. Do you think it was on set or do you think it
no,
was?
No, I think we did go to a rink.
A nice rink.
Yeah, but I just can't remember where. I mean, I'm sure it was Burbank or somewhere, you know, it wasn't far, but
wild.
Yeah, that was
a fun
day.
I love that the camera catches you two looking at each other like,
yeah, we're out.
Oh God, what's happening to her?
And I do remember, I mean, of course I understood the storyline and that was I knew that would be our last, you know, thing, unless something, you know, I just had a feeling that would be our last. And I was a little, Antonio and I were both like, oh man, this is so fun. I'm sorry. This is coming to an end. You know,
I know. I bet. Oh yeah. God. It would have been great if they could have like had more of those moments where you're just like watching her campaign disasters.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. And I would do it too. Like they could just say, we just need you to be in the background and be like, okay, great. I'll be there.
That would have been great because when they do the debate, right, they have like 8 people on that stage. And if you guys had been connected to one of those people, it would have been really cool follow up.
I know. So you should have. Where were you 10 years ago?
I don't know. Well, so there's this one episode, like this was the second episode, I believe, that you were in that I had some questions about, where she has to prove that she was born in Pawnee. And you're like, no, this is not going to do it because it just says Wamapoke County. Okay. And that was very matter of fact. I like the way that was played. But I wonder, like, with very logistical, I guess, question. I love all the behind the scenes stuff. Was it like an hour or two? Because all those scenes are like so freaking short. And so sometimes I'm like, how often did you spend time there? And what was the, like, how long were you in makeup? Like that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, well, I guess it just depended. Yeah, some of those scenes, like real quick in the office, we may have been in and out, and we might have worked just like part of the day. Antonio and I might have been there for that, and then we're wrapped, and then we're gone. You know, they might. Sometimes they might, if there are two scenes like that in the episodes, they might shoot them all back to back, or they might. We might, you know, move here, or you know, you might shoot that one scene in the morning and then wait around all day and then shoot, you know, one, depending on where they get the cameras and, you know, lights and everything set up for, we might be the last, you know, you might, I would get like they give you like a little schedule of the week and you might pop in like in the morning one day, or you might be there then no days for a while and then you're there, you know.
Was it a lot of sit around and wait kind of thing, or was it, because it sounds like with other guests that it was very well oiled machine, that they were let's do the scene and get out kind of thing?
Oh, it was pretty.
I mean, still have fun, obviously, but you know.
Yeah, no, it wasn't waiting around unless it was sort of out of necessity to, like, like I said, in between, you know, if I'm shooting one scene in the morning and then I have a scene in the afternoon, I might be waiting there, but it's not like waiting for them to figure out what they're doing. I mean, yeah, they knew going in pretty well what was going on during that third season or whatever, that they knew what they were doing pretty well.
Do you remember, like, after the first episode, if anyone came up to you and was like, we're probably gonna have you back, or
they did say something like, you know, yeah, we'll see few people, maybe even Amy, and I think even when our last episode we were talking about after the ice skating rink, I think someone said like, you never leave Pawnee or something. Mm-hmm. Like we might see you, or you know, but you never really leave or something. Aww. I don't know. It was
real
sweet.
Right.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I mean, people who literally have one line or one scene or whatever, we know who it is.
Yeah.
Because that was that guy, Jeff Sloniker, that I was talking about, that was like deciding whether or not to improv or not with Pratt, was like, he was told he was going to come back. And he was one of the only guests, I think, that we've heard of that actually did not come back.
Oh, no, yeah. It was that improv that did it. Yeah.
Well, he didn't improv. That's the thing. He didn't. He chose to go with the director, and they still didn't have him back. But he was funny regardless, and he did so well. We all loved him. But it's just like, you can't. It's one of those things, too, where you just, it's such a balance of, like, don't get your hopes up, but also you might come back, so do your best, but also, like, just have fun, you know, but also give it your everything.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, I was real excited to be able to be a part of that, campaign stuff and to be able to go back several times. And I think there was, I do remember a real funny scene where Chris Pratt throws his briefcase or something. I think I was there for that, or maybe I'm just remembering. Or I was in that episode.
Oh, it was the birth certificate thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, turns off the light Eagleton. Or something. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He breaks that. I've seen that blooper. He breaks that light switch.
Yes.
Because he throws
So you were on set that day?
I think so. I think that was in my time.
That was the same episode.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I remember being there when they were doing that. That was very funny. Yeah. Seeing Chris, because Chris was try different things. I do remember seeing him doing a bunch of different versions and more, some of it more like elaborate with some stunts. I mean, or some, I don't know. It was great. I loved watching that. I loved seeing all those guys do that. So that was fun.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Cause your character is the one that leads that. Cause you say, no, you have to go to the Eagleton, whatever the hell place, and get the real one.
Yeah. Right.
Or it's called long form birth certificate. Cause she didn't have the long form birth certificate.
Oh, right. So. That was like the callback to like the Obama stuff, right? All that.
I think so. I really do think that's what it was. Cause they haven't done it in a while, but when she starts running for the campaign, they definitely bring back a lot of like real political stories. Yes. That they are like kind of parodying.
Yeah. I thought that was what was so clever, or one of the things that was so clever about that show is they were able to do that, sort of talk national, global politics on a local level like that.
It
was nice.
I agree. I think it's great. But I was going to say, like, did you get to, I mean, I always ask kind of these minuscule questions too. Did you get to like hang out with anybody at like Crafty and have, like, did you ever connect with anybody? Like, or were you just kind of there and having fun?
Oh yeah. No, it was very, you know, there might be time. Yeah. Like in between setups or something. And I'm like, I think for that, I was watching them do that, you know, and, and they were all very open. I mean, everyone, you know, was very open and talkative and you kind of hang out and, I don't remember anything any specifics, but they were all open and great. You know, I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I think I talked to Chris Pratt for a little bit and Nick Offerman, and he was great and funny. I wish I could think of something.
Megan Mullally on the commentary, by the way. I don't even know if I said that. She was the one that said, like, you're not quite a city slicker.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, isn't she the best? She's great. I think I met her sometime. Yeah, she's awesome.
She was on the first episode that you were on, Lil Sebastian, because she is married to, you know, Nick Offerman.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, she's great. Oh, man.
So funny.
Yeah,
her character. That's so I can't cool. with her character.
So funny. I know. And he's so scared of her, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Which is great.
Was there anyone else that was like watching the show since you were on it, or like were you able to like share that with friends that were fans as well, or was that?
Oh
not
yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. Okay. There were lots of friends, and it's funny that thing that. Sometimes if I meet someone and they're like, you look familiar, what do you want? That's the thing. Sometimes
really?
It will be Parks and Recreation. If I could tell, you know, you can tell like, oh, they might, I think they're a Parks fan. I'll say, I was on Parks and Recreation. I was a campaign. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. You know,
that's cool.
What it is.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. That is so awesome. And love that so much. Yeah. Your name is William Barnes, which I just, the names they come up with in Parks is just, they're always so perfect.
Yeah. And it fits exactly what they say in the commentary. If you think about it, like the, like not big, like head honcho guy, but like small town, sophisticated. You know?
Yes, right. Exactly. I know. I don't know how they do that. I don't know if they have like friends that they combine names. I don't know how they come up with those names. Yeah, it's so funny.
That's awesome to hear, though, that you were a fan of it, because I feel like I said, some people are just, you know, they haven't, a lot of time they're just auditioning for a job, and that's and that's totally fine. But it's really interesting and almost more pressure, or like just, well, not more, but like a different kind of a pressure when you do know the show.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to hear that Amy was great. I'm glad that you had a good time with her, because that's who all your scenes were with.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Insane.
Oh, man. She's great. I mean, I marvel at sort of what she's done in her career, and just able to be a mom and write and produce and do all this stuff. And I mean, I know she produces like produced Broad City and all kinds of different shows. And I don't know how she does it all, but yeah. And to be so graceful
and kind.
Yeah. Just nice. Yeah. It's real fresh.
Do you remember if they left any improv stuff in that you did, or were you mostly sticking to the scripts
since they're
a little shorter? Or do you just remember improvising besides that one time when she was like, "Do not do that"?
Yeah, I think I was so scarred by that I just didn't. No.
Oh, no. And all you're that. Like, okay, never again.
Never again. Yeah. No, I mean, I just remember. Well, I remember having fun when she brought gifts. Maybe we were exchanging gifts to each other.
Yes, the Christmas ornaments.
And I it was just the way I said it, just like, oh, you know, I just remember like having fun with like, oh, you know, you talk, doing different things. And that was in, like, that take was it, you know, it was the one they picked, you know, just the
I
way.
I love that. Yeah. And she gives Antonio a menorah.
Yes. Like, oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Then I got
she's trying. Yeah. Like she was trying different things. Like, I remember that.
Did you get to keep anything from set? Did you steal anything from set? Because I would have. I would have stolen that ornament like nobody's business.
I know, right? Oh, I wish. No, I don't think I did. Name tag or anything. I'm trying to think.
That's right. I guess you didn't really. Well, and for wardrobe, did you just bring in your own suit, or did they
give
you that?
Oh, no, for that. That's all their stuff, yeah. I mean, it's for those shows like that, they usually have – you go in for a fitting and they – you know, usually like a few days before, you go in for a little fitting and they take a bunch of pictures and then that's what shows up. I mean, they might say bring, that might be more for commercials. They like say bring, you know, this, but they never use it.
They
never use what you bring, or at least not what I bring.
It's really interesting because I just think it's a toss-up, because quite a few of the people we've talked to have said like they really liked what they were wearing in the audition, so they had them bring it in.
Oh, fine.
And I was like, oh, that's so fascinating, because usually, I mean, I've done extra work, and that is where you bring like your whole suitcase
exactly.
of shit.
Yeah,
and you're
right.
Like, okay, you can just decide. But like with like when you have lines, it's most of the time the wardrobe people. But there was a gal that we talked to in the last episode who I think she said they liked her shoes or something, right, Maddie? It was Talia.
Oh, that's funny.
It's really interesting.
And they were like,
Like
to remember that also from the audition.
Right. But I feel like it's also this like work smarter, not harder type situation, where it's like if you already see something that you're like, that fits the character, like why make your wardrobe people create the exact same thing when they could bring it?
Oh, exactly. No, exactly. Totally. Yeah. I guess for me, I just had these suits, you know, there was nothing. They probably had that in mind, but you're right. Yeah. Totally. Like, why are we going to recreate something if that's
what we want?
It is those shoes are perfect. Yeah.
Right. And a part of me is like, well, can I get a bump if you give me the wardrobe? If I'm using my own wardrobe?
I think they do actually. I think you do get, you do get a little
that's
something
cool.
Like you check it on your contract. Like you provide your own word, you like that little bit or something. Yeah, I think you do, but I did not.
I'm sure they have like a whole warehouse full of
suits
and ties.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah.
That makes so much sense. So did you do like a lot of improv in like, or UCB or anything like that before?
No. I was in Dallas working. I was a lawyer for about a year.
Oh, wow.
Oh my
didn't
gosh.
Like it so much. So,
that's what you went to school for?
Yeah, yeah. So I was I had done some plays as a kid, younger, and when I was younger, I did some plays, and so I always liked movies and, you know, TV and, you know, that kind of stuff. And
well, you brought that lawyer vibe, feel, into
there you
this
go. Right.
role too.
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's okay. Anyway, continue.
Well, no. My dad, it always makes my dad really happy if I get some sort of law role. It feels like my law degree wasn't wasted totally.
Oh my gosh. Were you like a litigator? Like you were in court all the time? Or
no, I mean, I really only did it a year. And so, but I was, I think I took some depositions or something, but that was it. Yeah. No, like court time or anything.
Dang.
But I was in Dallas working for another, for a company, and then I did take some improv classes in Dallas that were similar from a guy that had done the Groundlings. And so it was that sort of stuff, but I, I think I performed in Dallas. Yes. And on some shows there, but nothing in LA. I mean, I'm so glad I did that class and did the, I love the thinking about improv and yes. And what can I
Definitely.
Do to add to this scene? So I love that idea, but I actually never wanted to perform improv. I'm so amazed to see it I'm a fan of it. I love seeing it when it's good, but I don't know. It makes me nervous to think about trying to do it, you know, because, you know,
it's such an interesting skill set, regardless of if you're in the acting world, but like to just go with the flow a little bit and come up with and not be afraid to look stupid.
Yeah.
But also it's such a, like as an, you know, acting, it's such a good thing to bring because you can really add or take away from any scene that you're in, you know?
No, absolutely. And it is a great way. Who was Amy Poehler's sidekick on Saturday Night Live?
Tina Fey. Yeah.
Tina Fey, thank you. Didn't she write about improv in Life or something? Or one of the...
She probably did. I mean, those two are going on tour now.
Are they really? No, I didn't
know that.
They're
going on tour together. I posted it on our Instagram, it's only like a couple of cities that have been released so far. And I'm just like, I might need to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, seriously.
They're coming here.
Oh, man. They're
but
so
yeah, they're
great
going
together.
On tour, and they're going to do like a variety type of show. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be, I think they're just going to do a bunch of like maybe, I don't know if they're going to do sketches or what they're going to do, but they're, oh my God.
Oh, they're
I think I would cry.
Yeah.
Being in the same,
I have not reached out to Amy Poehler yet because I am terrified.
You should, yeah.
I will eventually.
You have to. To have Amy on this show. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Don't.
We're trying
know
to get Ben Schwartz.
Yeah,
that's been the that's been the like trying.
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah. I worked with him again on House of Cards.
Oh, okay.
Is that the show? No,
House of Lies.
House of Lies. Thank you.
Oh,
yes.
House of
thank
okay.
you. Thank you. On Showtime, where they were like PR. Firm or something, and I got to an episode of that and worked with Ben on that again, so that was fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
I say again,
everywhere.
I say again, mm-hmm. I don't think he and I had any scenes on Parks and Recreation. I just know he did stuff with them.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, so you're in Dallas, you're doing the lawyer thing, and then you take some classes, and then were you just like deciding to do, you said you had done theater in school, like what kind of shifted your pivot to wanting to do acting more?
Well, it didn't work out. This company kind of didn't work out. It kind of folded. I was just kind of working in the legal department. I wasn't actually being a lawyer, and this company kind of didn't work out. I guess it was in bankruptcy, ended up filing bankruptcy actually. And so I had like a little early life crisis and I was like, I think I need to do something else. And at the time in Dallas, there was Bottle Rocket came out, and that was Wes Anderson's first movie.
Oh.
I don't know those guys, but that was actually filmed in Dallas.
Okay.
And I remember in the theater watching that thinking that looks so much more fun than what I'm doing. I want to do what those guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I remember calling the entertainment writer of the Dallas Morning News. Somehow I just was like, she had would have like a weekly column about like what's going on in entertainment and locally too. And there was actually commercial production and some different things going on in Walker, Texas Ranger, which was my,
sure.
I did an episode of that in Dallas. That was like was
Texas
shooting.
Texas is its own country.
Own sort of thing.
Especially
it is.
For
it is.
The arts.
Yeah.
Because I swear, like you can make a living as a musician or an artist just in Dallas or not Dallas, but
Austin
like,
for sure.
Austin,
yeah.
But just in Texas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I called this lady and was just like, I know this is crazy. You know, I've just read your articles and I'm just wanting to know how to get into entertainment business. Like, how do I start? And she was so gracious to even take this call. I mean, because she didn't know who I was, and she was like, "Well, I mean, have you? What have you? You know, have you done anything? Have you taken class? You know?" And she told me of a place to take some classes. And that is where I met some people and ended up getting an agent through a showcase of that place, through that school, KD Studios, KD Studios. And I did some improv there and met people and did that Groundling style improv there. And that was all from just calling her, and she was nice to point me in that direction. At least said, you should just try that, you know? Yeah.
Because I feel like if a lot of those cold calls, you're like, or cold emails or whatever it is, you're just like, they're not going to message me back, or they won't answer, or they'll just be like, okay, nice talking to you. Bye.
I know. And I'm sorry. I can't remember her name right now, but it was just so nice that she took that call.
Lives.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even though she's probably not dead, but
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
That's so cool. And so what brought you to LA then? Was it more of just like, I'm going to, you know, take the leap?
Or yeah, I think it was just trying to decide. I knew I needed to go somewhere else, you know, eventually. And so I just did commercials and stuff in Dallas and Walker, Texas Ranger. I did one episode of that. And then,
so cool.
And then, and you know, like some low, but, you know, movies, independent movies and stuff, and just made my way out to LA. I can't remember if I visited a couple times or just tried to figure out. There were a couple people from Dallas out here. I didn't really know anybody. And then, you know, had a friend of a friend who was living here, needed a roommate, that kind of thing. And just moved out. Yeah.
Did your agent transfer with you to LA, or did you have to get a new one?
No,
there?
I had to get a new one. Yeah. Okay. I think someone from Dallas actually had said, you should do these workshops where they were casting director workshops, and you could do scenes for these casting directors. And I think through that, and then maybe something else, I was able to get a commercial agent, and then that agent then helped me with some TV stuff. And then doing another kind of showcase thing, met a manager, and then she helped me get another agent a TV agent and that sort of thing. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And that was all over the course of a couple years?
Yeah. I was able to get a commercial agent through this thing pretty early my first year. And then, so I was able to get some commercial work pretty early on, and then met my manager maybe that second year. So I was real fortunate. And a lot of it is just people, you know, asking around and trying different things, like, hey, you know, and someone saying, you should go over here and I'll try that out. Like, okay, that doesn't work, but I'll go over here and, oh, this works. And I mean, it's amazing how lucky you sort of get lucky, you know, when you look back on your life, how things have sort of, one thing leads to another, you know,
Yeah. Well, I asked that because I've been listening to podcasts, and just in general, I've been having like qualms with the business lately, and I'm just, it comes in waves, obviously.
Yes,
like
get
there's
it.
Always ups and downs, ebbs and flows, whatever the hell.
Oh,
but
sure.
It's just like when I listen to podcasts about like how people got from this place to that place to this place, I'm always like, that's cute, but also how long did that take you? Because when you hear that, you're just like, that didn't happen like even within a month. And like when people say that it's a marathon, to me, like lately, it's not a marathon, because marathon implies that there's an end.
yes, right. No, I know.
And this is not a marathon. This is a lifetime.
I
forever.
Know.
And if you can't do that, or if like you can't like handle the ups and downs, which sometimes I question that, it's like, you know, that's it maybe not be for you. But I saw Bryan Cranston also posted something too that was like, there's always a certain amount of luck within it, just like you were talking
absolutely.
About.
Oh, absolutely. And he's another one that's really great. I worked with him on a movie called Trumbo, and he is such a great guy. And just like Amy, like that number one position on the call sheet with the actor kind of sets the tone. You may have heard people say that. I mean, but like, it's so true. He's like so gregarious and nice and welcoming that, you know, it makes everyone rally together, and you're all in it. You feel that, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm a part of this thing, you know, and it really is infectious, you know, it makes you feel good about
100%.
It. 100%. And he's a great, wonderful.
Well, and I feel like it's, you have to fight every day to not be jaded.
Yeah, right. I know.
Like especially in the business, but just in life in general, you know what I mean? So it's always really lovely and inspiring to see videos that I like from Bryan Cranston, or hear, like talk to guests like you and hear about how Amy Poehler started this, and to know that she is human too. Like, I haven't heard a bad thing about her, but I also know that there must be times when she like feels the pressure of it all.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That's always nice.
It's tricky with any career, and then with this business too. I mean, I think there's only a select few that have gotten to a point where maybe they don't have to try as hard. But even then, even the ones that we think are, oh, they've made it. They mm-hmm. still don't know for sure, like what's yeah. next. And so you have to sort of settle into that in this business and in life, just of mm-hmm. Impermanence. Nothing is permanent. Everything's temporary, and you don't really know what the next thing will be. Mm-hmm. And you have to be okay with that, I guess.
I've been coming to terms with the fact that you can't think about the result or like have the result be the end all be all. And yeah. Have either of you heard of / watched the movie RRR yet?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh my God. It was just, it's on Netflix. It's a Bollywood film. It was just nominated for a bunch of Golden Globes, I think it was. It should have been nominated for more Oscars. It was so good. And it's like, it is kind of violent at the beginning. So you have to kind of grin and bear it after, but then it like becomes so uplifting and inspiring, and it's Bollywood. So there's music involved and dance breaks. And it's like, but it's about the people in Delhi trying to overthrow the British Empire, basically. And this guy that's kind of leading it is like, I'm going to keep trying because it's my goal. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the result. I don't care if I keep beating down and stuff like that. It's not about the result. It's about the fact that this is what I'm trying to reach. And like, goal is a hard word to say because that implies that you have some control over it.
Yeah.
but you know what I mean? Like, it's just really fascinating to think about that.
It is. Cool. If you keep moving, it's not the goal is just what's pulling you through. I mean, there is never going to be a time or where you, okay, I have now done it. I have complete, mm-hmm. I have mastered it. I am an actor and I can sit back and relax, or I'm a podcast, you know, queen and I can relax.
I am a podcast queen.
Yes, you are. Of course you are. Yeah.
I don't care if we haven't reached 8,000 bajillion people. We've reached enough. But yes. I personally love it.
Exactly. But you're right. It is. It's just moving in that direction of what you like. And Joseph Campbell's thing, you know, find your bliss, follow your bliss, do the thing that you like. And even if the end result ends up not being what you initially thought, it will lead you to things that will mm-hmm. then be inspiring or mm-hmm. enjoyable. You know, I think if you go in that direction of what you like, then other doors will open up and other possibilities present themselves. Because sometimes I don't know about this deal. You go audition for things and you don't get them. You know, mostly you don't get the things, at least in my level of acting. I'm not getting offers for things. Aren't like just, I'm not just like reading scripts and going, oh, I want to do that one.
Right. I know. I love that when celebrities are like, well, they sent me the script and I had to decide. And I'm like, okay.
It's just a handful of people I think that happens to, you know.
Well, that's the thing. That's the 1%. And like, mm-hmm. we love them. We respect them. And, you know, but it isn't all of us.
No.
But also, okay, I didn't mean to get all like philosophical what I'm going through at this moment. So thank you for going with me on that ride.
Of course.
But before I forget, we also really need to talk about Fever Pitch.
Okay? Oh, yes.
Because Maddie and I went to school in Boston, and we watched that movie before. Did you watch it, Maddie, before you went to Boston?
I don't think so, but we definitely watched it together when we lived together.
Oh, okay. Funny.
Because I definitely watched it before I went there, and I remember going on, like, it was one of, like, Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, like, oh my gosh, my faves. I used to watch Jimmy Fallon, like, every single night. And then if I missed it, I would watch it on Hulu the next day. Like, it was great. And so I remember being on a tour bus one time for, like, one of those Boston hop-on, hop-off thing. And I was like, oh my God, this is where Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore were standing. It was like Cask and Flagon or whatever the hell the restaurant was. And the tour guy was like, got all mad at me that I was talking. And I was like, I'm just excited that I'm on this tour. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you mad that I'm doing your job better than you? Because you didn't tell us about Fever Pitch. But so I love funny. That scene that you have where you're selling or you want to buy Jimmy Fallon's tickets.
Oh, yes.
And you're asking, like, do you find my wife attractive? Yes. And then that last line of, well, do you?
Well, do you? Oh, my gosh.
That makes me laugh every time.
That was so fun. And I think Jimmy was laughing, too, during those takes. That was really funny. I remember having a good time with him on that. Oh, my God.
You could tell there was so – I could tell he was he's a very – like, he breaks, I think, a lot, which is what we love about him.
Of course.
But I was just going to ask, like, how did that audition come to play? Or, like, did you know somebody from there, or was that just a regular
audition? That was a regular audition. I remember getting maybe a callback. That was my first thing I did with – because I did that Unhitched show was the Farrelly Brothers, the directors, and then also Heartbreak Kid with Ben Stiller. Mm. Was also the Farrelly Brothers, but I think I met them on Fever Pitch. I think the callback was at Flower Films or something, where Drew's production company. And so I think I remember being there waiting to go in. So yeah, that just came through my agents, you know, just an regular audition. And then we went to the callback, and yeah, so I was thrilled to do that. That was a blast, man. That
is so amazing.
Yeah, that was really fun. And they were all I've been really lucky, actually, to work with a lot of really nice people, and they were all great. Drew and her producing partner, Nancy, who ended up
marrying Jimmy.
Yeah.
Wow.
From that shoot, from that film. Yeah.
So cool.
They were all great. And, Jimmy was so nice. I think it was my sister's birthday, and she was a fan of Jimmy. I think he sang happy birthday to her or something, you know, on the phone, and, you know, it was,
oh my God,
left her a message. And then we shot at a game. I think there was, I mean, I know they did some stuff with the World Series. That was incredible that all coincided together, that
oh my
year
God, they
the
didn't
year.
Plan that. Isn't
no,
that nuts?
Just wow. Amazing. I was so glad that we weren't like the reason that they lost or something, you know, that Boston would forever blame these Hollywood actors for their loss or something. But yeah, I remember shooting during a game, like in between innings, we would do some quick scenes with us. So there were like people all around us, and I thought that was pretty great. That was pretty fun to just be there.
Yeah, that big one where you're like, just sign the papers.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That one was a huge shoot, I would imagine. And that was actually in Fenway, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was theirs during a real game. And then I think we shot some stuff after the game was over. Then we stayed, and they had a background, you know, that were there for the movie to be there. But okay. Some of the stuff was actually during the game, and that was pretty fun. Wow. And I got to say, the guy that played his uncle, maybe, or my,
yeah, uh-huh, Jack, uh-huh, with the big glasses.
Yeah, a guy named Jack Kaler. He just died a couple months ago, and he is a fantastic actor. He has been in so
great.
He was in the Big Lebowski. Have you seen that? Do you know that one?
Yeah. Oh, it's been a while, but yeah.
He's the dude's neighbor that comes and asks for rent, and then he does the interpretive dance at the theater, and the dude goes to see him. And Jack, that was actually a real thrill for me, because I love the Big Lebowski so much. I knew who Jack was from that, and so when he and I were in those scenes together, and then he and I had a nice dinner in Boston one night, you know, and just talked about acting. And he was a longtime actor, worked with a bunch of people, and you know, was in the Actor's Studio, but way back when, or you know, studied with all these great people, and just a great guy and funny guy, and just a real. That was one of my favorite times.
That
just
is
working
so
with
magical.
Him. Yeah. But I'm sorry that he just passed away a few months ago, and just a great guy.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh my gosh. Rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah. I'd kept up with him for a little bit, actually, and seen him do a play or two here, and then, you know, over the years just kind of lost some touch, and I regret that I didn't sort of try to reach back out. But I didn't know he was.
Oh, that's okay.
Sick. Yeah, yeah.
You can only do so much.
I know.
But I love his line. I mean, I know it's the writing too, but I love the way he delivered his line of like, when they're like, hi, how are you? And he's like, I'm on dialysis. I can literally quote that movie, Johnny. It's
that's
really
so
awful.
Funny. That's so great. Yeah. That's so funny.
Oh my God. So how long did you have to stay in Boston for? Like, was that a long shoot?
It wasn't too long. My part of it wasn't that long. Maybe a week or so. Not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is my cat.
Is that your cat?
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's my cat. I mean, it's my wife's cat. Well, it is my cat. Yeah. She had
your cat. Yeah.
She had this cat before we met. I thought she was going to come back over. Let's see.
Okay. I thought I saw a tail.
There she is. Hi.
So pretty.
Oh, so pretty. Little calico moment. Yeah. What's her name? Or is it a he?
Kitten.
Yeah. Oh my God. Perfect. I love that. When they're like, I know some people that are like Kitty is their name.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Precious. Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry. Okay, so back to the Boston. Did you get to, had you been there before? Like, did you get to discover it anew or?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Oh, that's Luna. It just popped through. Let's see. Come here.
Where? Luna!
There's Luna.
Oh my God! I have two cats too. Do you have more than two cats
just two? Just two.
Or just two, I mean.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Just two.
I love cats.
I don't know if they're hungry. I thought, didn't we just eat? What's going on?
They get restless, though. My cats, like, I have to shut the door because they'll want to join the conversation, and they're, like, really frustrated that attention. You're not giving the attention to them.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, be nice over here. What's going on? But, no, I can't remember, to be honest with you, if I had been to Boston before. I don't know if I have. And so, I got to – I think we had like a little cast get together one night and yeah, it was nice. We went out to eat with Jack that one night, he and I, just the two of us. And that was fun. And
I'm so glad you got to do that. Mm-hmm. That sounds so cool.
It was really fun. And then to be able to go to a game and all that was fun. And again, I was so glad that we didn't cause any problem, you know, because I know that Boston, the fans are so notorious for like blaming.
Yes.
This is the curse
very
or whatever.
Very superstitious.
You know?
Right.
Yes, very superstitious. So I was glad that we were not the cause of something bad.
Yeah,
that
totally.
Actually being a part of that World Series year was so great. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That's true. Yeah. Also, wasn't you the character that does the crazy like poem to the one who plays your wife?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember now. I'm so sorry.
I feel
sorry.
Like you're having like a 20s party. I know this was like so long ago.
Yes, you're right. I think it was a 20s party. That was a fun shoot, actually. That
yeah, it's
scene
like some
really
embarrassing poem. And she's like, I don't remember what you said, but she says like, my parents are here.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. And do you remember like where, like were you around Fenway? Do you remember like shooting around that area?
We were, but then I don't remember where that scene, the 20s party was. I feel like that was at maybe a hotel or something. I don't remember which.
Because it was supposed to be technically in somebody's house, but they could have set dressed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Or maybe it was at somebody's house. I do remember shooting at somebody's house in Boston where we had that cigar scene with Jimmy and all that stuff was at somebody's house. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Those guys are great. The Farrelly brothers, they have guys that they've been working with for years, you know, and so it's a real cozy set too. Lots of laughs and fun and
Would comedy be like the main thing that you are, or have you done a lot of drama too? I was looking at your IMDb and I feel like it's there.
Criminal
right?
Minds.
A little bit of both. Yes, Criminal I've done some Minds, Criminal yeah. Minds. I've been like a bad guy on some shows like
Maddie
that.
Loves
CSI.
Criminal Minds, so
oh yes,
definitely
Criminal Minds.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Hawaii 5-0 I saw too, which is also drama. And The Mentalist.
Yes.
And yes, I love Simon all the Baker. psyche shows.
Yes, that's funny. Yeah, I've done a few of those, I guess. And then comedy. And I did a thing recently. I was it was Netflix about the opiate crisis, their version. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it was called A Painkiller. But I was like a doctor that gets carried away with prescribing drugs. And then, I play drums and I got to be a drummer. I got to play a drummer in a movie called Love and Mercy, which was one of my favorite things I've done too.
That's awesome.
About Brian Wilson.
Who's in, you said Owen Wilson's in this?
Oh no, it's about Brian Wilson. Sorry.
The Beach Boys. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I have that on my list. I was like, why does that sound so familiar? Yeah. Oh, I had no idea you were in that.
Yeah. I got to be this guy. I got to play this guy named Hal Blaine, who was a session drummer in the 60s, for this group called the Wrecking Crew, which is their,
yeah,
was kind of the informal name of these session players that played on all these songs that we all know, and including some Beach Boys songs. And so there were some scenes in the 60s where Brian is teaching these guys some music in the studio. And I got to play Hal and actually got to play drums with some these other musicians in the movie. And they used what we did in the movie. So
dang,
it was really fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really great. Some guys, some of the guys play with Brian on his like tour, you know, play with him normally. Wow. So that was really fun. Yeah.
Okay, that's so cool. Is that on? That's on streaming.
Yeah, one you of can. Them, right? You can rent that. I'm sure. Yeah.
I feel like it was on Hulu for a second, but now I don't know. But either way, I'll link it in the show notes, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was a real treat for me, just as a musician and as a music fan and everything, to be able to do that. That's so cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Do you still do drumming or?
Oh yeah, just for fun. Yeah, just play around with some different guys. Although more before I had a kid, I used to play more.
Yeah.
But now I can't do it. Can't do it.
Well, you can pass the torch.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Or play together. That's yes, fine too.
I know.
And how old is he now?
He's 5. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. You got a lot on your mind.
Yes. Yes. A lot going on over here. But he's great. We had our first stitches 2 weeks ago.
Oh no.
Fell.
Oh
yeah.
No.
It's my literal worst fear as a parent is having to take my kid to the hospital.
Oh no, I know. It was not fun. That was our first time. I mean, we've been to the doctor before, but this was our first ER visit, you know, with like holding the towel on his chin.
What happened?
Know? Just walking on the sidewalk. Yeah, just
he just fell.
Tripped. Yeah. Hit his knee first, thankfully, and then knee and then down.
Oh yeah, that could have been worse.
Yeah.
Boy.
So
is he healing now?
Oh,
so he's good?
Yeah. Okay. Now he's just got a little band aid there. Yeah. Oh, man.
They don't care.
Yeah. It practically heals like as you're looking at it. You know, they're still growing. They're just like, just goes right back together, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I feel like the parents are always in more pain than the kids are.
I think so. I think we were. Maddie, you have kids? You said two.
No, I don't. No. I don't have kids, but that's my fear.
Yes.
My brother had asthma really bad growing up. So I spent a lot of time in the ER. And so now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready emotionally to handle it.
Oh gosh, I know. I don't know if I am. Yeah.
So no, and I work with kids. So
Oh man.
That's the thing. I don't know if you ever really are ready.
Right?
Like I mean, I guess you can be in the right mindset, but I ask my mom that all the time. I'm like, having pets, I'm like, how did you deal with them just like with your kids just being out in the world where anything could happen at all? And she's like, you don't really, you just cope.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Oh, man.
Jeez.
Oh, gosh. Well, do you have any other questions, Maddie? Do you have anything
I just wanted
to follow up on?
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask, this is going back to Parks and Rec
because
I didn't want to interrupt earlier. Did you ever go to any of the wrap parties? Cause you said you felt like you were part of Pawnee and I didn't know if like they invite the guests to come back to those.
I think they do. Maybe for that, maybe for one of those seasons, maybe I did. And then I know that they had something big at the very end, but I was not a part of. Oh, there's a friend of mine that did some stuff with them. Allison Becker. She was the, like a reporter. Yeah. She did some stuff. Maybe she went, she was more, I think she said she went to that last little rap party, but I wasn't invited, but understandable. I mean, you know, lots of people, but, I think maybe that first season since that was the last episode, I think I may have gone to that rap for that season or something, but no, not the big one, not the very end.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That would be so many people.
Oh, I know, right?
I mean, they could do it, but that would,
a lot.
Yeah. Allison, you should interview Allison.
I've tried to reach out to her, but I haven't heard back. So I'd love to talk to her.
I'll connect y'all again, or so I'll try.
You should her trajectory on that show is so good because she starts off, I feel, as this like really competent reporter who's like really like out there and doing her thing.
Yeah.
And then like the way they write her and the way she plays it is so good. Like she turns into kind of this like needy, like traumatized gal.
Yeah.
And
you're
just like, and it's so comedically played. I love her so
much.
She's
great. She's awesome.
Slightly ditzy.
Yeah. But you're also like so relatable because I just think it's the combination and the way that she plays it. I'm just like, oh, I totally get it, girl.
Yeah. Oh, man. She's funny. Yeah. She's great.
She tries to she has a moment where she like tries to get with Chris Pratt and she's like, I can't even get the shoe shine guy. So
it's one of my favorite lines.
But yeah, I'd love to chat with her sometime. Yeah, so we'll see if that works out. But awesome.
I'll email her.
Well, I don't want to keep you any longer.
No, this was great. I loved it.
This was so fun. Yeah.
And thank you for that audio clip of those guys talking. That's so great. That's so funny. Thank you for that. I'll carry that with me for a while.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I don't. I guess it's technically distribution.
Oh no, friend to friend, share. Just, yeah, fair use, fair use. This is fair use. That's fine.
There you go. Yeah,
it was released, so like, it's not like I'm, you know, breaking any.
And you're not making any money. You're not. I'm not going to pay you for it. You're just sending it. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
The lawyer fixed it.
Yes, there you go.
Well, thank you again so much, Johnny. This was so nice.
Thank you so much.
Are so such a nice calming presence. Mm-hmm. It was lovely to talk to you and just relive all this.
Thank you guys so much, both of you. That was so, so fun. Thank you for thinking of me.
Of course. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a good birthday walk to the dinner for your wife. Happy birthday and happy healing.
Thank you so much. It's going to be helmets and chin straps from now on. He's going to we're not going to let him out of that. Yeah. Arm, shoulder pads, elbow pads. It's going to be, he's going to be fine. Yeah.
He'll
be Bubble Boy. Bubble Boy, exactly.
Okay.
Bye.
We'll see you
thank
soon.
You so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a Parkinson Pals, and there's also therapy too.